all stand and give the Lord some praise.
Well, we thank Hallelujah.
You, Lord, we praise you and we thank you for this opportunity to be in the house of the Lord tonight. Thank you for the joy of the Lord, for the peace that passeth understanding. Lord, would you bless and minister to us. And Jesus, we thank you, Lord, for all that have come out to be in this service. Oh, hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Well, we're certainly glad for everyone that's come to worship the Lord with us. And how many knew he was a worthy king that's worthy of our worship and our praise? You know, people worship the ball players and the one that can knock the most home runs and the one that can make the most touchdowns. And they also honor and worship those that are in the entertainment field. But I'm going to tell you, there's nobody like Jesus. I'm so glad that there's a name that's still above every name. And that name is a strong tower. And the righteous can run into it and they're saved. Hallelujah. So it's so good to be here. Good to have Brother Al Hunt and Brother Lindell Birdsong. Are there any other pastors here? I don't think so, except for Brent. He's already testified. And we love Brother Brent. We've been around him a long time, and we appreciate him. And I appreciate our pastor today. We had a good day with him and his wife. And man, that guy bought me a steak today. What do you think of that? He sure did. And I didn't disappoint him. All that was left was just a tea that made the bone. Oh, yes. So we had a wonderful time together. And I appreciate this opportunity to preach the word. I'm preaching tonight from the 25th chapter of Matthew, and I want Christian, is he up here already? I want him to sing as soon as I read my text, all right? Matthew chapter 25, I've been preaching every night on midnight. Midnight and no bread. Next night, midnight and no oil. The next night, midnight, jailbreak. Next night, midnight and no blood. So tonight, I'm preaching on the midnight cry. Let me read my text. Verse 1 of the 25th chapter of Matthew says, "Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins, which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. And 5 of them were wise, and 5 were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them, but the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. And while the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight, there was a cry made, Behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him." And I'm preaching tonight on the midnight cry.
I hear the sound of a mighty rushing wind, and it's closer now than it's ever been. I can almost hear the trumpet, its gable sounds call. At the midnight cry, we'll be going home. When Jesus steps out on a cloud to call his children, the dead in Christ shall rise to meet him in the air. And then those that remain will be quickly changed. And at the midnight cry, will be going home. I look around me, I see prophecies fulfilling everywhere, and the signs of the times, they're appearing everywhere. I can almost see the Father as He says, "Son, go gather my children." And at the midnight cry, when Jesus comes again, when Jesus steps out on a cloud to call His children, the dead in Christ shall rise to meet Him in the air. And then those that remain will be quickly changed. And at the midnight cry, when Jesus comes again.
And my text says in the 6th verse of the 25th chapter of Matthew, and at midnight there was a cry made, "Behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him." If you'll read on, there was a little bit later on whenever those that had no oil went to buy. But when they came back too late and the door was shut. So the purpose of this meeting here, if you're not ready to go to meet the Lord, you can get the oil tonight before the door shuts. Now, I read to you that the bridegroom was coming. And the young man sang the song, the midnight cry, at the midnight cry. And the Bible says in Hebrews 10:37, yet a little while, and he that shall come will come and not tarry. So I ask you this question right now. Where will you be, and what will you be doing? And one other question, what will you be wearing at the midnight cry? There you are. The Bible clearly states in Matthew 24:36, but of that day and hour knoweth no man. No, not the angels of heaven. Oh, only my Father only, says Jesus. And there are four major doctrines, three major and one halfway major, concerning the return of the Lord. There are those who believe in the pre-trib doctrine, that Jesus could come any moment, any time. And I don't exactly embrace that doctrine, but over 50 years ago, I went on down to the station and I got my ticket. And I'm standing at the station with my ticket in my hand just in case He does come. Since no man knows the hour or nor the day, then it's good to have your ticket. The Bible, some of those other beliefs are the mid-trib. 3.5 years into tribulation, approximately. Half of Daniel's 70th week, and then Jesus is coming. And then there's another one called post-trib, which I'm so opposed to, I kind of hesitate to eat post-toasties. That means after the tribulation. And then somebody else, a Jewish man down in Claremont, Florida, came out with a doctrine of post-trib pre-wrath. Regardless of how you believe it, there's something that's very important. that you have your name in the Lamb's Book of Life, and that the blood of Jesus has been applied to your life. Oh, you say, well, Brother Rich, I don't understand all of that. No, and you never will, and no one else has understood it all. For the Bible says in Romans 11:33, oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and the knowledge of God. Oh, how unsearchable are His judgments and His ways past finding out. Oh, yes, 318 times in the New Testament alone, it speaks of Jesus' return back to this earth. That's one out of 25 verses speaks about Jesus' return. Sometimes in the New Testament, we find that there's other inclinations, but it doesn't come right out and say, but it leans toward His coming. In spite of the doubters, in spite of the mockers, in spite of Mr. Obama, in spite of all the homosexual agenda, in spite of all of the devils loosed out of hell, nobody can stop Jesus from coming back whenever the time comes for Him to appear. Listen, Peter said in 2 Peter 3:13 or 3:3, knowing this first, that in the last days there shall come scoffers, walking after their own lust, saying, where is the promise of His coming? For since our fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the creation. That is right. But there's going to be a stop. There is going to be a midnight cry. There's going to be a cry and a trumpet's going to sound. Oh yes, and Jesus is going to split the eastern skies as quick and as fast as the lightning shineth from the east unto the west. So quick will His coming be. You'll not have time to pray. You'll not have time to go ask someone to forgive you. Words said in haste. You'll not have time to run in and change your clothing and get out of that pantsuits and tight Levi's and Wranglers and get a dress on, ladies. You'll not have time for all of that. Us men won't have time to go dress properly. Listen to me. It's going to be as a lightning shineth from the east even unto the west. Jesus, in our text had in Acts 1, verse 10 and 11, He had just given the command and promise of the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And He said, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto Me both in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and into the uttermost parts of the earth. He just gave that command for them to go tarry. And then, as He was talking to them, His disciples from Galilee was watching Him. And all of a sudden, He began to rise, go up in the clouds. Oh, yes. And they were standing there steadfastly looking up into the clouds. And there appeared two men in white apparel. Said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing into the heavens? This same Jesus that you've seen go away in the cloud shall so come in like manner as you've seen go away. Let me tell you, it's not going to be a different Jesus. It's going to be the one with the nail prints in His hands, the wound in His side, the nail prints in His feet. The same Jesus is the one that's going to return. Don't you look for no other way out. Oh yes, don't you look for another. Take another look. It's Jesus Christ that's going to return to this world. Now listen to me. The midnight cry, behold, the bridegroom cometh. It's coming. I don't know when, neither do you, but the safest side of the issue, be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh. The midnight cry, behold, the bridegroom cometh, is going to come upon us like a midnight hour. Midnight. You don't expect too much to happen in the church after midnight or around midnight. And even in your home, most of us, sometimes I'm not, but most of us are in bed at that time of the night. But hear me, at midnight, midnight. And the Apostle Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15:51, behold, I shew unto you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. How long? In the moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible. Oh yes. Now when this corruptible hath put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then's going to be brought the past of saying, O grave, where is thy victory? O death, where is thy sting? For death will be swallowed up in victory. Our greatest enemy of man is death. There used to be a song, and I heard Brother L.D. Moore condemn that song one time up in Ohio. The song said, death is an angel sent down from above. It's not. No, it's not an angel sent down from above. Death is our worst enemy. Oh, and he'll be the last enemy to be destroyed, is death. He's the enemy of all mankind. And the only reason death is, and the sentence of death is passed upon us, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin. So death has passed upon all men, for all have sinned. Hear me tonight. The midnight cry is going to be a cry of separation. Oh, yes. It's going to be a cry of separation. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, and with the voice of an archangel, and with the trump of God. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together to meet them in the clouds. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. And hear this. Wherefore comfort ye one another with these words. And my old fashioned pastor, when Sister Rich and I first got saved and started going to church. She had been saved when she was 12 years old, but I started going to church, and that old-fashioned pastor preached like this. If the thought of Jesus coming tonight brings fear to your heart, you're not prepared to meet him. That's the way he preached. Are you prepared? What if that trumpet would sound? I don't know when it's going to happen, but let's be ready. Listen to me, and I'm going to hurry right on tonight. I'm not going to preach real long. But when Jesus Christ returns, and it may seem like it's far, far away, those that waited for his first appearance, those that waited for the consolation of Israel, it may seem like Jesus was a long time, their Messiah was a long time getting there. But when the fullness of time was come, God sent his Son, made under the law, made of a woman. He came into the world when the fullness of time has come. And brother, the fullness of time, I believe, is right on us. I'm wondering, can you see the spiritual time clock from where you're at? I believe the hands are pointing toward the midnight hour when the midnight cry is going to be made. Behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him. Listen, when that cry shall be made, will you be waiting and longing? When the cry was made in our text, then all those virgins rose up. They went to meet him. And you can't get some folks to rise up and come on to the house of God. How do you think they're going to rise up and go meet Jesus Christ? It'd take 9 Texas Rangers. After people say, boy, I just love that church. I love old Brother Steve Moore, and I love Brother Lyndall Birdsong. That church just means so much to me. And it takes 9 Texas Rangers to get them up and make them faithful to the house of God. You know that's right. I don't think they love the Lord like they say they do. There's something about the house of the Lord. Oh, yes, even sometimes it's dry. Even in our church, right? Great preacher here, pastor. Sometimes we're pretty dry. And every other church is dry at times. But oh, those refreshings that come from the presence of the Lord, they come unexpectedly. You're not really expecting it. All of a sudden, God fills the whole house with his presence, and the glory of God begins to move, and we become alive. And old men like me, though this outward man perish, that inward man is renewed day by day. while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen, they are temporal. That means subject to change. But the things which are not seen, they are invisible. How did Moses endure? How did Moses make it through all of those trials down there in Egypt? He endured as seeing him who was invisible. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. When we least look for him, that's the midnight hour. When we're least expecting him, he's going to come. Remember that rich farmer who was very successful in Luke the 12th chapter? There's nothing wrong with him being successful in his farm. But here's where the problem was at. He said, my ground's brought forth so plentifully, I have nowhere to bestow all my goods. This will I do. I will pull down my barns and I will build greater. And I'll lay up in store much goods. And I'll say to my soul, soul, take thine ease. Thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Soul, eat and drink and take thy ease. The soul doesn't feed off of things you can lay up in barns. You've got to get in the presence of God for your soul to be refreshed. Listen to me now. I believe tonight we have a great opportunity. A great opportunity not only to be refreshed and renew ourselves in the Spirit, but we still have an opportunity of winning our loss to Jesus Christ. Some of my relatives were coming here to this revival, and they're in a modern church, and they're supposed to be here tonight, but they've been here three or four nights, hadn't they, Brother Moore? And my cousin, she's a little bit older than me, and she looked at me the other night with tears in her eyes. And said, Don, I haven't heard preaching like that since I was just a child. She said, they don't preach it in the modern church where we go. So with good advice, I said, change churches. Go where they do preach it. I said, don't get up and walk out of that church. Get up and run out of it and go to a church where you can hear the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. They were supposed to be here tonight. I don't think that stopped them from coming. But anyhow, they're not here. Hear me tonight. The midnight cry will soon be made. And we are to watch. That means to be ready and listening, lest that day take us unawares. It's be easy to be overcome with surfeiting and drunkenness and the cares of this life, and that day come upon us unaware. You don't have to be out there in the bars, out there in the clubs. Just get busy. Too busy for the things of God. Too busy for the house of God. Oh, yes. Too busy to help support the preachers and the pastors. Too busy using your money for other things rather than paying your tithe and supporting the work of God. Never did cease to amaze me how these people can raise so much money for ball games, for other entertainments, and sometimes a church is just barely getting by. That always made me wonder what your top priority is. I'm going to hurry here because I've got something I want to say to you here in a little bit. I'm just kind of preaching along here a little bit. But listen to me. When thou begin to say to your soul, like this man said, I have much goods. If you'll look, he used that word I 6 times. This will I do. I will pull down my barns. I will build greater. I will lay up and store much things for many years. I will say to my soul, but hear me, you must get your eyes off of self and get your eyes on Jesus. Yes, yes, this rich farmer, he wasn't expecting that voice. When he was thinking about all the goods that he had, when he was thinking about all the possessions, when he was thinking about I don't know where he had CDs back in there and investments. I don't know. But when he's thinking about all of this, all of a sudden a voice thunders out and says, thou fool, this night thy soul is required of thee. then who shall all these things be which thou hast provided? I'm here to tell every one of you, somebody's going to live in your house after you're gone. If the world is still standing, somebody's going to drive your car. Hey, I got a pretty nice truck. Lord, help me this year to buy me a new Toyota pickup. Pretty nice truck. Hey, if the Lord calls and comes in the clouds of glory and that midnight cry comes forward, hey, Dustin, you can have that truck. Just tell him Don Miss said you can have it. There'll be plenty of time to drive it after the church is going out of here. Hallelujah. No, I think he's ready. Please don't misunderstand me. But here's what I'm trying to tell you. Jesus is coming at an unexpected hour. Christ Jesus is sovereign. He will come when he pleases. At the command of God the Father, not even the angels that's so close to him know when he's coming. He's just waiting on the Father to tap him on the shoulder and say, Son, go bring my children home. Go bring those that are saved. Bring those that have the oil. Like I preached a few nights ago, midnight and no oil. Oh, they're not going to go. Bring those, that church that's looking and waiting. I don't believe that the church can be any less and go back with Jesus when he comes than they were when Jesus left here. We've got to be full of the Holy Ghost and power. The church needs a new anointing, a new Holy Ghost renewing. They need something that'll quicken them. We're getting where we want to come here and just kind of sit, like I said a night or two ago, like them mummies I see down there in Mexico. You was with me down there, weren't you? Boy, they dug them peepees out of the caves, and they were petrified. And big people, little people, tall people. One woman had her and her baby both was petrified. And the baby was nursing her, and they was petrified. Well, if you go by those people and say, lift your hands, say hallelujah, they won't do it. If you say, come on, move your feet around a little bit and give the Lord some praise, they're not going to do that. Pass the offering plate past them, they're not going to put nothing in. They're mummies. Oh, yes. But we are God's lively stones. And we're here to give glory to a king that's worthy. And when Obama's authority ship is over, and every other ruler in this world, when they no longer have authority, our king will still be King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I want my horn player to come on back up here for a little while. Hear me. Many people, they miss church with hardly no reason. They don't have no reason really to lay out. Now I know sometimes we're sick. Sometimes there's something that demands our attention. But the church should be first. And I remember we lived next door to a Baptist man in California. And one day he flagged me down as I was going into the church. Sister Rich, I think, was with me. And he said, boy, I'm glad I'm Baptist instead of holiness. He said, you guys have to go to church all the time. And he said, I just go about once a month and still keep my name on the book. Hey, some folks do that in a holiness church too, but I doubt if your name is on the book unless you're sick or have a real reason, oh, not to be there. Let me go on. My horn player, make it up here. Yes, sir. Listen to me. I want to be faithful. I want to be faithful to the cause. That midnight cry is going to separate the saved from the lost. It's going to separate. The Bible said two men in Luke 17, two men will be in one bed. One will be taken and the other left. Two women will be grinding at the mill. One will be taken and the other left. Two men shall be in the field and one taken and the other left. If I'm with you, I hope you're the one that's left. Because I want to go back with Jesus when he comes. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If one's left, I don't want to be that one that's left behind. Oh, I know both can go. All can go. Listen to me. The midnight separates families. And the mothers that have little babies, the Bible says in Matthew 13, verse 49, angels shall come forth. And they will sever the wicked from among the just. They will come. Angels will come. And mothers that have babies that are not living right, that angel will snatch that baby out of that mother's arms and she'll be crying, bring my baby back, bring my baby back. It's not coming back. The midnight cry has been made. It's too late now. The door is shut. That's why we're preaching, get ready to meet the Lord. Because I believe the trumpet's going to sound soon, and I do not know when. As we've already stated, my pastor, we've been discussing this today, and he's like me. He has some answers, but he don't have all the answers. And I doubt if you do too. But we do have some answers, and there's signs that we're to look for. The Bible said there shall be signs in the sun and in the moon and in the stars and upon the earth distress of nations. He goes on to say the sea and the waves roaring. We read about that all the time. These tsunamis and so forth. Men's hearts failing them for fear of those things that are coming on the earth. For the powers of heaven shall be shaken. Then shall they see. Woo! The Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. And when these things begin to come to pass, lay out of church as much as you can. Try to shun reading the Word and pray as little as you can. Oh no. So when these things begin to come to pass, lift up your heads. Look up, for your redemption draweth nigh. Did you know that when all of this homosexual agenda is sweeping the nation, and 2 days ago they came out on the news that you could not refuse service to them in places like bakeries or wherever, you couldn't and rent rentals and so forth. And Brother Moore, I don't know whether it's in our bylaws or not, but I heard we need to get it in our bylaws if it's not, that they're not used in the service. Because it can be put there. Brother Chris Oliver told me today that we need to get that in our bylaws. Because it wouldn't surprise me. Those people don't try to come in and demand their time. Oh yes, listen to me. But listen to me. They are fulfilling the Word of God. For as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it also be in the day of the coming of the Son of Man. For they were eating and drinking, being merry and marrying and given in marriage. And then he goes on to say, as it was in the days of Lot, sodomites were there knocking on the doors. And you can call them gay if you want to, but the Bible calls them sodomites. And in the Old Testament, the time I got inside down here in Norman to talk to those people, you remember, anybody remember that? When I got inside where all those people were homos and stuff, and God made a way for me to get inside. They didn't like it when I called them sodomites, and they said they kept asking questions, and I'd stand up and answer the question from the Bible. And this guy said, you're hogging up all the time. You won't let nobody else answer. And I said, the reason is I'm the only one here that's got the right answer, seemingly. Oh, yes. And finally they got tired of it, and they said, well, if we'll let you have this pulpit for 5 minutes, they call it a rostrum or some book board or something. We'll let you have this for 5 minutes. That shows you how dumb the devil is. Said, if we'll let you have this for 5 minutes, do you promise us you'll leave? I said, yes, sir, I will. I didn't go there unprepared. I had my scriptures together. I even told them in the days of the prophets, they stoned the sodomites to death. I told him in the New Testament, in the first chapter of Romans, that Paul wrote against it. And finally, I said, when I run out of time, let me know. And they got so carried away, gave me a couple minutes overtime. Finally, I left like I said I would. And 15 people followed me out on the parking lot and said, tell us some more. Listen, we got to be bold in this hour. That wicked people are very bold. I'm still preaching on the midnight cry. Oh, yes. Angels shall come forth and sever the wicked among the just. You may feel comfortable tonight in the position you're in spiritually. But is it prepared for the midnight cry? Behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him. Are you ready to rise up and go out to meet him? We've got to be ready. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. I'm just about finished. But the Bible said that Jesus is coming in the clouds of glory. The same way he went away, so shall he come. His disciples saw him go away. His disciples are going to see him when he comes again. Oh, yes. And then there is scriptures that bear out that every eye shall see him. And even those that pierced him is going to look upon him. I don't know exactly where that can be placed in the scriptures right tonight, but I do know that it's in the book. But hear me, in the days, as the days of Noah, and as the days of Lot, so shall it be in the day of the coming of the Son of Man. And someone said, come on out here, buddy. Kind of lean that horn. Don't drop it now. Lean it over against there. Someone told this story. Don't lean over where I can see it, where they can see it. Now, we're not going to drop it. Somebody said, in heaven one day, Gabriel was walking through heaven and he spotted that horn. And he said, Lord, I've always been obedient to you. Could I blow that horn? And God said, no, it's not time to blow that horn, Gabriel. Lord, I've always obeyed you. I've been your mouthpiece. I've always went and told you what you wanted me to tell the people. Please let me blow that horn. And God said, okay. You can pick it up and give it one short blast. Then you got to put it right back down again. And in walked Enoch. About 2,000 years went by. And Gabriel started looking at that horn again. Said, could I blow it again? And God said, no, it's not time. Yeah, but Lord, I've always obeyed you. And I put it down when you told me to put it down. And God said, yeah, you can pick it up and blow one more short blast. And he picked it up. And in came a chariot carrying Elijah, a chariot on fire. But somehow I feel that somewhere in the heavenly world, old Gabriel's got his eye on that horn again. And God said, all right, Gabriel, I want you to pick up that horn. And I want you to blow it this time. And I want you to blow it so long and so loud that all of them that sleep in Christ Jesus will get up out of the graves. Blow it, Gabriel, blow it. Are you ready for that trumpet to sound? Are you prepared? It's going to happen. Some of my loved ones, some of my own family is not prepared. They're not prepared tonight. That's why I get up every morning, go into my living room, and I start praying and calling their names in prayer. I don't want them left behind. But that trumpet's going to sound. My brothers and sisters, be ready. Be prepared. Get ready to go. Oh, that midnight cry is going to be made. Oh, yes, it's going to be made, and soon and very soon, the trumpet's going to sound. The eastern skies are going to light up. Oh, Brother Morris, and I used to pastor and then finally moved down here around. I think he moved from Payton to California. You remember him, Brother Morris? And he said, I get up every morning and I look toward the eastern skies, thinking maybe this will be the day. Virgil Morris said Jesus could come today. He'd tell me that, and he'd testify to that in church. Are you prepared? What if tonight would be the night? What would you do if... Are you ready? Have you got the blood covering your sins? Mama, my mother, used to sing a song, heaven is a holy place, filled with glory and with grace. Sin can never enter there. All within its gates are pure, from defilement kept secure. Sin can never enter there. Sister Cindy, you remember my mother, don't you? She used to sing that song. And you know, some folks would get happy while she sang that song. But now, they probably walk out. Are you ready for the midnight cry? Where's my young man Christian at? Come on back up here, Christian. Amen. That midnight cry is going to be made. Whew. And I remember your dad, he preached a little while ago. Preach a while. Whew. Well, getting his points across. I'm just wondering, are you ready? Are you prepared? As I look over this congregation, I don't want to see no one that I've preached to left behind. I don't want to see no one turned aside, but you're judgment bound. And midnight will be very dark if you stand before the fiery judgment of God and you do not have your sins under the blood. Daniel speaks of standing where the judgment was set before the Ancient of Days, and judgment was meted out to the people. And I love this church. I love your church too, Brother Birdsong. All the people in this area have been so good to me. Last year at this time, I had to come in here on a walker. And God somehow just gave me strength. And I know I'm not preaching as good as I used to when I was about 40 to 45. But I'm still preaching the same gospel. And I'm still telling people that Jesus will save them. And if you're here tonight and you don't have Christ in your life, I offer you a golden opportunity to get your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life. I get letters from people I don't never heard of and don't even know, like Baltimore, Maryland, got a letter from up there. And I don't know where they get my name and address, some kind of advertisement or something. But that's not important that they've got my name. But there is a book. And I'm going to tell you something about the book. You know, Moses, he said at one time that he wanted God to blot out certain names. And God said, he that sins, I will blot out. In other words, God's telling him, I'm keeping my own books. Oh, yes. Nobody here is keeping the books. So, Brother Rich, I don't like that preaching. I'm going to just take your name out. You can't do it. You can't do that. And I can't take your name out. God is the one that takes care of the books. Would you stand with me, please? Brother Moore, that midnight cry is going to be made. First, one night here I preached on midnight and no bread. Another night, midnight and no oil. Another night I preached on midnight, jailbreak. Another night I preached on midnight and no blood. All these midnights are coming. But for us that are saved, the path of the just is as a shining light that shineth brighter and brighter into a more perfect day. Oh, thank God we can be prepared. Have you got your name in that book, young man? Young lady, are you prepared? Or are you going on in your own sinful way? Say, oh, the Lord will have mercy on me. And last night I brought out the scripture where some say, well, I'm strong. I can make it. I don't fear the judgment. I brought out a scripture in Ezekiel where God said, can thine heart endure? And can thy hands be strong in the day that I shall deal with thee, saith the Lord? No, you'll fail there. You may stand up. You may stand up against any man here or any woman here. Hallelujah. But you cannot stand in the fiery judgment of God and be brave and bold unless your name is in the book of life. While every head's bowed now, I wonder if there'd be one you'd lift your hand and say, Brother Rich, I'm not ready for that midnight cry, and I want to get ready. Please pray for me tonight. Would you lift your hand quickly in this congregation? Is there one anywhere that will lift that hand? Christian's going to sing again here in just a moment. But are you ready for the midnight cry? And at midnight, there was a cry made. Behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him. Are you prepared? Are you ready? What are you going to do? Where are you going to run? I'll tell you what's going to happen to some that are not ready. rich men, kings and rulers. They're going to run to the rocks and the mountains and cry, fall on us and hide us from the face of him that sitteth upon the throne. For the great day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand? Are you ready? Would you raise your hand for prayer? I'm not coming back to no one, but you're interested enough in your soul that you just lift your hand and say, Brother Rich, I need prayer tonight. Raise that hand quickly, and then we will pray. Is there one? I wonder if there's anyone here that one time you burned brighter than you do tonight. You one time had more zeal and more fire and more Holy Ghost power. And tonight you kind of let it dwindle down. But you want to get that flame burning once again brightly. For we are as a city set on a hill that cannot be hid. We shine in this old world as lamps and lights in this wicked and adulterous generation. Is there one that raised your hand quickly? Say, yes, I see that hand. Are there another one? Say, Brother Rich, yes, yes, hands are going up. I need that. I need to get that lamp burning brighter. I need to get full. I must burn at my full potential. Oh, God. For you see, one step backward will lead to another step backward. And the first thing you know, you're like Peter, warming your hands by the enemy's fire. He never intended on that, but Jesus told him that was going to happen because he was so bold in his statement, though all men forsake thee. I'm not only willing to go with you, but I'm willing to die for you. But he could not stand the test. I'm not going to make that statement. But oh, I am trying to be a shining light. One more hand. I've had three or four hands go up. Say, preacher, I want to get that lamp burning bright once again in my life. Anyone else want to lift your hand for prayer? I'm getting ready to pray. You say, preacher, please remember me in this prayer. I want to get fired back up again like I one time was. Anyone else? All right, Father in heaven, I've preached what you've laid on my heart to preach for this night. I believe there will be a midnight cry. But you've given us this opportunity tonight to get our lamps all trimmed and burning and a new supply of oil in our vessels. Lord, I pray that those that lifted their hands would find that source, oh, of fulfillment, where their lights could shine out in this old dark sinful world. Bless them and help them in Jesus' name I pray. And now while Christian sings, I'm opening the altar. And those that lifted your hands, feel free to come to the altar right now in the name of Jesus. Come right on. Those that raise your hands. Yes, yes, yes.
I hear the sound of a mighty rushing wind.
Oh, God. Give us power.
Closer power. Now.
Power.
Then it's
oh, give us oil in our lamps. Jesus. Jesus.
I can almost hear the trumpet. It's Gabriel sounds the call.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
At the midnight cry,
yes,
we'll be going home. When Jesus steps out,
come on, church, and let's pray tonight. Let's
children.
Pray for a new fresh supply of oil in our vessels. If your lamp is kind of
dead
and your wick
Christ
is kind of burned over, ask God to trim your wick for you.
quickly changed.
Oh, blessed, blessed, blessed. Blessed be the name of the Lord.
Oh, when Jesus comes again.
Hallelujah. 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 Oh, Son of God.
Around me,
I praise you, Jesus. I praise
I see
you, Jesus.
Prophecies.
Come on.
Fulfilling.
Let him refurbish your
everywhere.
All supply. Oh, let
and
him
the
shine
signs
that
of the times.
Hallelujah.
They're appearing everywhere.
Hallelujah. And at midnight,
I can
there was
almost
a cry made.
See the Father. As he says, Son, forgive my children.
Oh.
And at the midnight cry, Jesus comes again.
In the name of Jesus.
When Jesus steps out on the cloud, he calls his
children.
The dead in Christ shall rise to meet him in the air, and then those that remain will be quickly changed.
Oh, hallelujah. Jesus, renew our experience.
When Jesus comes again.
Oh God, Lord, touch everyone. Touch all of these men and women and sisters and young people that's in this altar right now. Midnight, there was a cry made. Behold, the bridegroom cometh.
Around me,
go ye out to meet him.
I see prophecies fulfilling everywhere, and the signs of the times.
Yes,
they're appearing everywhere.
Glory to God. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah.
I can almost see the Father as he says, Son, go give my children. And at the midnight cry, when Jesus comes again.
Oh, there's potential while they're still young.
When Jesus
they can go out and
steps
do something for the Lord.
Out on the cloud to call his children. The dead in Christ shall rise to meet him in the air.
Hallelujah.
Changed. And at the midnight cry, when Jesus comes again, when Jesus steps out.
Oh, hallelujah.
On the cloud,
hallelujah.
On his children.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Those that remain.
Oh, praise God.
Will be quickly changed. And at the midnight cry, when Jesus comes again.
Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. 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 Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for the power of the Holy Ghost. Thank you for that oil you can put in our vessels. Oh, that readiness we can feel. Oh, oh, God. Hallelujah. 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 Wonderful, 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 Jesus. Praise God. Hallelujah. Really appreciate everyone that's came to the service tonight. And I was raised on a farm down around Yale and Jennings, Oklahoma, down in that area, Walton, down in there. And I was 16 years old before we got electricity in the house. And so I know what it means to burn lamps. And there's something about a lamp, it'll warn you when it's getting low on oil. It'll go to flickering. Now, if you'll go right then, don't turn it up and try to make it burn brighter. You got to stop right then. Because if you turn it up, it'll burn the wick. Then you've got to trim the wick and clean the globe out and start all over again. But if you'll go right then and put oil in it, and then light it back up, you'll have a good light. And I was raised on a farm with that. I did my lessons many times by kerosene light. And some of you are not quite that old, are you? But that's happened. But anyhow, here's what I wanted to tell you. A lamp, if you let it go too long, it will smoke up that globe. And all you can do, even though you put new oil in, you've got to go inside that globe and clean it out inside and outside. And if you go too long without the Holy Ghost oil, oh, you're not going to make it. Brother Moore, thank you for this privilege of preaching the gospel. There's some of the people here that I pastored in Norman, Oklahoma. And Brother Gerald, I preached to you down there in Savannah years ago when you just a boy. I mean, just a boy. And then some of the people I've pastored here in Norman. And I'm preaching the same gospel. I never have changed my gospel because there's only one gospel, only one true way, and that's through the Lord Jesus Christ. So I thank the pastor for inviting me here to preach this revival. And I will be here, what, two more nights? Boy, I'm looking forward to hearing Sunday morning. He's had all this time, boy, to be getting something together that will just bless us. And he usually does. He usually gives us some good word of God. So I'm going to turn the service back into his hands. Remember me in prayer. I'm not as strong as I one time was, but I thank God I'm still able to go on. Amen.
Brother Moore.
All right. Thank you, brother.